We discussed the Mishnah Day of Bailey, so one of the three members of the cell, the Chabad of Russia. Rabbi Malik asked for the Chibul of Russia, the white ones, the Chabad of Russia, and the Chabad of Russia. And of course, the nature of the different kind of Chabirut, the Chiburim that are involved. There is a, to be Mitchabed, to join common purpose and common cause for a focus on the vote. But there's a particular agenda, something which needs to be attained. And then there is the mischaber to join what kind of existential relationship, of course, with every different order. And these, I mentioned, issues which are very, very pertinent today. And to some extent in this country, or in this country less so, because some degree of chibur it's thereby dint to this fact that everybody's in the same boat. In the diaspora, there, the sense of being in a boat altogether is not as clear, so they're not being in the same boat. And there, these issues become very, very relevant. The Braisa here, or the Mishnah, or the Braisa, does not focus, I think, so much on the issue which, in the debate which is like for the last century and a half, very, very central. And this is the issue of legitimization. Rabbi Elah Rashai, because of the consequences, the influences, etc., sense that if you're becoming his chaver, you are legitimizing him, I think here is barely touched upon. But today, that is, of course, a very, very central concern, and particularly in an atmosphere which is much more endemic to the modern scene, where public relations and the image which is projected is so critical. The last item in the Mishnah of Nita Abeli, Ati Deshmina Puranut. Here I think the Bryson burst of Los Angeles is a surprise. Many interpret Ati Deshmina Puranut that if Puranut comes, don't let it throw you for a loop, and be able to cope with it, to confront it, and to remain firm in hope and tefillah, muna bitochen, etc., etc. In that respect, puranut is that which might cause you to be misyayish, and the yush is more general yush, loss of hope, loss of verve, and in a sense, a somewhat dehumanizing and emasculating factor. Yush, inter alia, is not sort of the expression of a certain attitude, but it's a loss of lack of attitude. And normally we understand the Ishmael Puranu, don't let us become despairing as a result of Puranut. Right here it seems to reverse that. כיצד מעמד שליבו שלא מתפחד בכל יום, הוא יאמר, אוי לי שום את הובלה פורנות היום, ושום לו מחר, נמצא מתפחד בכל יום, שאומר, כן, ביום, פחד, פחדתי. Not that a person should not let פורנות overcome him, but he should not be מסייש of פורנות, as a מסייש of an avede, that פורנות is what you forget about, what you set aside, what you disregard. It's used in that sense, the lack of any psychological relationship to Puranut, that's what you ought not to do, but you ought always be on the ready. Puranut might come, and that is viewed as a positive virtue. Here, of course, comes the questions which have to do partly with the psychological side of things, what this constant state of anxiety and tension, what that might do to a person and his personality. Another plane, of course, moves us face to face with questions which very much have been here these days, question of Amunah and Bitochen, which we've dealt with on other occasions. Here the Pasuk quotes one Eov, the Gemara in Gittin says, Simra Marashkod Mefakit, Pus Parashkod Mefakit Tomi. First of all, be in a state of tension and readiness. One should have relaxed his guard. And the relaxation of one's guard, of course, can have repercussions, ramifications in terms of relationship to one's environment. And reservations on a spiritual plane. A person takes whatever he has for granted. He's not appreciative of what the Rebbe will do for him, a personal plane. And therefore, the sense that he needs someone to earn what he gets from the Rebbe Shleilam, or not said to earn it, because that is a wage which is owed to you, but to be worthy of that. There are two persons relaxed, and this is part of the Shemanta Vitika Sita, which the Pesukim Hazinu speak of, Pentuchav Savata, the Tzav Masuk by Pashtekev, where the concern is number one, that the person will think that he's totally in control because Skoki was Yosef's Chayyazah. Secondly, that he will not be aware of the possibility that things might be different, regardless of to whom he attributes, to what he attributes his success and his prosperity. But he takes prosperity for granted and therefore does not energize himself, does not charge himself to live a life of effort and dynamic activity. Whereas a person is aware of the possibility of Puranus, he's all eyes, all careful to anticipate the possibility to be on his guard. For many, though, Mispachet B'chol Yom runs counter to the fundamental conception of Emunah Mitochen. So the Mitochen is not Mispachet B'chol Yom because you rely Tevlachs V'Hashem Teich Ba'adam, Tevlachs V'Hashem Teich Ba'adam, Tevlachs V'Hashem. So you rely upon the Ben Shleilim, so and you have him at your side, so to speak. Why worry? Why need to be concerned? And Chazal does statements at times which seem to stress that a person should indeed be relying upon what the Bereshit was going to give him, to identify with some form of emunah. So Mark of Gemara and Saita, which runs counter very much to our mindset and to our habits. Mishi says that one of the signs of Yisrael Mashiach, Pesku and Shia Amana, Amavit Zahir B'nei Adam Shein Ma'aminim B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, תתניה רב אלעזר הגדול אומר כל מי שיש לו פת בסלו ואומר מה אוכל למחר אינו לו מקטני המנה. Person has what he needs for today is what he'll do for tomorrow, what he'll do for a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Insurance, savings, investments, all the things which are so much part of our, as I say, mindset, our habits. Person's worried about that is Ktani Amana. That seems to suggest that a person should not plan, not project the future, be content with what he has in the present. And that presumably not because he doesn't think there's going to be a tomorrow, but as long as the Rebbe is provided for him today, as soon as we provide for him tomorrow as well. And in that respect, he's not mispachet b'chol yoyim, he's not mispachet about his material situation. Maybe what the Baisa's mind over here is the not the loss, the lack of one's normal needs for sustenance, but that some calamity will strike, the Ola Puranuta Yom, and against that a person needs to be on his guard, and there the possibility of Bitochen, etc., the reliance on Chasti Shomayim, is perhaps not in order. Said previously that the recommendation we have over here introduces an element of tension and anxiety into a person's life, and this may have significant psychological ramifications. In this connection, we have to think in broader terms as well. Mishnah speaks, as a novice, the person should not have confidence, assurance in himself. You find that this person was a kabbalah for 40 years and relied upon himself to save Nasa Tzaduki. Mal Shabbos, what's that? Danatan, it's good for the given Shabbos. But as a woman, she will have been with Tatra. No, it's not exactly the same Mishnah, but it's the same thing. יום אחר לפני מיטתך, שזה בדרב רזו וכי ידע יודע איזה שיום שימות, אמר לה בכל שכן, ישוב היום שם ימות למחר, נמצא כל ימה בתשובה. This is a different kind of anxiety, but also a sense of anxiety which has ramifications both with how a person feels and also what he does. Obviously, if a person thought that today is indeed his last day in this world, he would devote it to things which are very, very special, very unique, very central, and not engage in all kinds of other activities which are part of a person's normal life. So it's partly the tension of Shem Yamut Hayom, it's partly the Altami Batsmucha, partly the meaning which has to do with how one relates to oneself. Partly the Shemudolat of Olipurunut Hayom, the Ashrod and Fakatomid, which is praised here and that Gemara in Gittin. As I've indicated, this needs to be viewed in terms of psychological ramifications. How far do we want to go with this? And do we indeed want to encourage that kind of anxiety, which border on depression on the one hand, terror on the other hand? And what does this do to the joy of life, the Yibdus Hashem Simcha, and what kind of mindset, what kind of existential situation we're going to encounter if indeed we follow these counsels. V'achel, this is a very different event. Yesh v'na puvanut, k'yitiz v'shon rebi, ha'mashem yadu matzliach, ad yomar b'shem. שזכיתי נתן למקום אחר למשתה בעולם הזה וכן ימד לו לומר בה למראי לי שמה לא נמצאתי לפעולה בזכות אחד בלבד נתן למחר שאתה מזג לשעבדי לעולם הבא. This presupposes that a person is a little bit of a lamb and knows Chazal's comment on משתה בסונו ופונב להעבידו that with God the tzadikim mentioned very often gives them privation and tribulation in this world in order that they should use up any of their credit for the world to come. We have to share with the other, since the Bishlim cannot be in Kapes, Kar, Kobel, Yobel, so they get but the just desserts in this world and use up whatever credit they may have for the world to come. The person is aware of that, then when he succeeds, he may begin to panic that maybe, no, rather than from Kenny, but then he ought to say this with the, as recommended here, he ought not to be confident that he's successful here, and this is just dividends, but the principle remains Lail Maba, but he should be concerned that maybe he's eating up the principle, and and it's not clear, and therefore, what should he do? Having said that, presumably, what the person should do is try to build up some more capital, increase the principal, remove some extra saving, and not rely on his prosperity here. Now, this too, to some extent, impacts negatively upon a person's mindset. Portrait you have in the first figure, a person who is successful and prosperous, and he probably is appreciative of this, and he thanks the B'nai Shleilim, it's not Kechim Yitzim Yodi, Natalia Makom, he said, the Shri Zachiti, and Zachiti could be turned into two senses. What's the word zachiti is because it's bischus that I'm worthy, that I'm deserving. Or zachiti that I've been mizechem and hefker because I've hit it big, I've hit the jackpot, so to speak. Zechlish neshuchan is this one of the world to come. If he says he thinks she's a chisi, then this becomes problematic in another respect. Just the first order, Sekhichi Beitzim Yodi, he also should refrain from, if he is successful, from attributing it to his own virtue, his own tzidkis. Rashi, at the beginning of Eschanan, quotes ואת חנן אין חינון בכל מקום אלא לשום מתנת חינם אף הפי שיש להם לצדיקים לתלות בפעשיהם הטובים, and to assume that's why they're getting what they deserve, אין בקשים את המקום על המתנת חינם, כפי שאומר לו חנדית השחון, אמר לו משום בית חנה. That's a little different with the theme which we have over here. Here we deal, there we deal with what a, on the basis of what a person asks for something from the Ben Shalom, but the ask is chus or the chesed. Here it's a question of interpreting after the bishop has blessed him, of how one interprets and to what one ascribes that. But the common thread is that a person should not be looking to depend upon his virtue, but rather to be appreciative of what the bishop does for him, as not the schinam. The moment you say, Shush is a chisid, I'm worthy, it's chus. Then you, to some extent, minimizing the chesed of Ben Shleilam. He's giving you your wages, they're giving you a gift. And that is, to some extent, the lack of appreciation of HaKos HaTov, which will be a greater HaKos HaTov if you assume that, indeed, you're not worthy, but are getting a matnas chinam. Common denominator in the verse of Tishna Tishna Pavanus is that it undermines the sense of satisfaction, satiety, the perception of self-image of a person being worthy and a tzaddik, which of course in many contexts we encounter, sometimes in a personal place, sometimes in a communal plane. You know, we are the salt of the earth, we are the best, we are the most deserving, the most virtuous, etc., etc. And that kind of spiritual pride is, of course, very, very problematic in whatever context it may be. Just take one minor example. The term even tefillah appears in Chazal in two very different connections. It appears in certain contexts as something which is positive, one of the things that a person should be striving for. In other contexts, describes one of the things which a person is punished. Hashem dealt with this, and Tosfos says two kinds of yom tefillah. There's the one base in the base and elsewhere in Brachis. The quote is what after Nei, Shul Shadu, Miskinu, Mato Shul Adam, Kama Yun Tefila, Rokhi Masha, Pahim Mufanin, Kama Adam, Bachim Pazim, Olam Azeh, Kukha Shul Yun Tefila, Alma Mal Yutei, Yishom Yitrei Yun Tefila, Yishom Yun Tefila, Da Hoch, Hamitzapeh, Shetovo, Bakashoto, Yun Tefila, Da Atam, Shemchavel, Debo, Tefila. So person thinks, I daven so well, such kavana, surely the tefillah will be answered. That's the yud tefillah which is negative. The person chavin tefillah is positive. But it's very difficult to escape this kind of feeling if a person indeed leads a life of Torah and mitzvahs, the sense of being deserving and worthy is very, very natural. And the awareness of guilt in its pervasive sense, as we are familiar to us from other contexts, Calvinism, Puritanism, and the like, is something we don't generally try to encourage. Although here there's some difference between Balei Musa and the Chassidus. Balei Musa are very much into the kind of, they see Poros around the corner. But the Chassidus of Omish is much more joy, joie de vivre. And there, sense that in some respect, either one is personally deserving or collectively, commonly deserving, is much more part of the scene. The next Mishnah moves on to something else entirely, and it's one of those which presumably is the reason why the Rambam stated that Masech Sovias was given to Dayanim. Yudah ben Tabe, Shum Meshad, Kiblu Mehem. Yudah ben Tabe, Tatsko, Kuchi Adiyanin, Sheyuhu Ba Nidin, Umir Frari, Melech Rishayim, Sheyuhu Frari, Melech Rizakin, Sheyuhu Frari, Melech Tadin. Shum Meshetach, Nisem Lovein, Yom Abel Chol Tadin, Vezehir Mitvarech, Mishu Dohom Yom Dulu Shaker. Kabud Alam, between what Yudah ben Tabe, Shum Meshad, I have to say, is that both focus very narrowly and presumably the world of Dayanim, world of Deen, and as opposed to early Mishnayos that we had, speak in much more general vein. Compare the narrow basis of these Mishnayos with Atiho Rosham Yisob Gabi Pras, Rehot Amlachak Kabis Net Rabbanut. Very narrow and defined. It's also another second question when we got the vote of Mishnayos. And this is, I've indicated in other contexts, that we have a problem as to whether the Mishnayos present us with halachic norms or with general counsel, be it moral counsel, spiritual counsel, pragmatic counsel. What we have here has at the very least a strong halachic base. We'll see when we get the vices that maybe it's more than a base. But even if you just read the Mishnahs themselves, added to which one should have to the Baladinim, which means maintaining a certain distance, a certain objectivity. Or Shiva Meshetach's counsel, Mabalach Kol Teidim, Kod Rish Tachkiris, the Mitzvah Deraisa. Apparently, Shiva Shetach's encouraging is Yetzir, you could open up the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, seven Chkiris, battle of the questions, get the answers quickly, be done with it. Maybe he said you need to probe and to interrogate, as a police officer might, or as a judge might. But the base is certainly very least halachic base. Now this raises some questions to how we are to understand Atasat Chol Kuchei HaDayanim. There's still questions about the Pshat of the Mishnah. First of all, how Ochei should be spelled with an Ayin, with an Aleph. There's some who assume that it's with an Aleph, Archei, the Greek Archei, the ruler, like Archbishop, Archdeacon, Arch, etc., etc. And mostly he says we have it with an eye. Now, what's intended over here? So let's look at the vices here and we'll see how the vices are lessons. Atasko Chokhadiyani, Ketzad. Melamed Shimbatel Beta Midrash, Shimbatel Tavor Havachal Tibel Uchaloshim. Lev Yoshev Yisrael, Beis Atam, Mu Meis Inyan Ayadin, Olachash Yisraeluni. That's the first point. This has nothing to do with the court of law as such, but rather with one's responsibility to care and caution in the spirit of the Mesudim Bedim, which we saw earlier. The same vein, try to understand the reasoning, analyze carefully, step by step, get all the facts straight, etc. Now that could refer to someone who's a jesama in a traditional, semi-judicial capacity. Now that Ashiv could mean if you were Shaila Meshiv, you are a Meshiv, you have to paskin, you're paskin Shaila. Although the term to be Meshiv also could apply in the course of discourse, discussion, you enter the Besmedrash and people speaking and learning, you could shoot from the hip, you could be careful what you have to say, and proceed cautiously. The latter part of this, the part that I read, apparently someone is being asked the question, but again, it's a dino aloch, it need not necessarily be dino in the narrow sense of the term, a court of law where two people are being judged. Alright, that's counsel. Follows then is very, very different. But actually, the hypothetical positions which a person might be taking, these run counter to not only Sefil Panim Bamishpat, but to whole range. If a person knows that the Oni is Chayev and he refuses to be Chayev him, says, Evel, Taso, not only Sefil Panim Bamishpat, if it's the reverse, he's very vulnerable. In any case, a person is instead of judging objectively, corrupts his decisions, makes a corrupt decision. So he's able many things. The fourth group on Imam Mishpat is one which is more general. In other words, the Dovah Tel Abri Bo first to give preferential treatment to the Ani. Tel Abri Gadol give preferential treatment to the Yoshi. The Kibbutz Abri Mishpat means be totally oblivious to what it is. And the Mishnah here, the Baisa here, assumes the Kibbutz Abri Mishpat refers not to the appointment of the Dayanim, which is what one shot, which you have in Chazal, which may assume, whom you select, but when you are conducting a mishpat, not the kuponim of the Balei Dvar. But again, if a person is makir ponim b'mishpat, he's ever several avim. It's not just some general moral counsel. This is a call for careful and consistent adherence to the halacha. Same manner, the following statement of Imeh, Zeromeh, Omeh, Matam, Lekadon, Kavadon, Kadon, Tishmoon, which is the Hemsh, for that Pasuk, Shloyech, Adomeh, Duchad, Yoshua, Vadim, Kod, Sakov, Echol, Omeh, Kod, Kasev, Zorecha. Yeah, and this is part of the Pasuk, Kavadon, Kadon, Tishmoon, but not only that, it's also part of the Vesera Tishvita Mitecha. Tzedek, v'shetel mechayivas, v'shetel shetamitecho, has two foci. It relates in part to the result of the entire, but also the process. And even if a person ends up handing down a proper decision, which is in constant with halacha, if he has discriminated between the Balei Dvarim, humiliated one, elevated another, he's able even if you give the proper psak. Rambam at the beginning of Perek Chof Aleph in Sanhedrin, based on Chazal, Gemara Shavuos. Mitzvat Aseh Lishpot Hashofet B'Tzedek, Shneimar B'Tzedek Shpotam Itecha, Eizu Tzedek HaMishpat, Zo Hashfoyat Shnei Baladinim Chol Davar. Lo Yerecha B'Daber Kotzako V'Chol Melk Aseh Dvarecha, Lo Yamin Yasvi Panim Lecha V'Daber Lo Kot, Yerap Edav Lachem V'Daber Lo Kashot. All this is very, very clear. Mamash mitzvah to the Reise, like Achilles Matzah. And here you have an example, the way that the Reise here understands, that this is what the Dorcha Leonim don't do, and this is what we're enjoined, prevented from doing. Dorcha Leonim, apparently, and if we're talking about not about the lawyers, but the judges, so they give preferential treatment. They discriminate between the Balei Tvarim for one reason or another, whether the result or the process, and both of them are mentioned over here, part of the Meir's mind of the previous Meir, and that's what we're prevented from doing. All right, that raises the question, which I know on other occasions, as to why, what's Chassidus about this? That person not eating the Velas of Trebis, so they don't even be in Ovis. I presume that the call here is for going the extra mile in this respect, being very careful, and an admonition to avoid the various pitfalls that are involved, including some of which a person is psychologically aware, to sharpen and intensify awareness. But I grant that I do have a bit of a problem in the way the Baisir understands. That this is not, this question becomes Lecha Dayanin, these are partial Avin in the Torah and Esther in the Torah. Elsewhere, it seems to be somewhat different sense of Lecha Dayanin, somewhat closer to what we understand today about Ochadini. The Gemara in Ksubis, some question came up, the details aren't relevant for us. Yeah, okay, let's come for Nachman, where a person could have made a certain taina, which would have been a winning taina, and they depend on that thought of it. Some tactic, some strategy. And Arachman asked, is there no one who would give her this piece of advice? No, it's like you're watching a chess game and, you know, make this move. No one about to give suggest this move to her. So she went, she did it, and she won. Arachman then was remorseful. Arachman, as soon as here the Yanin, Hashem, the Shiv Vesa, the discussion of this, seems to suggest that we've tilted the scales in favor of one side. So it's not a false psak, but it's one which, in a sense, induces an element of bias by suggesting a particular strategy. Now this, and the many who stayed on Chad Yanin in this respect, we're fighting for one side and opposed to the other. Now, this particular instance of the Gemara was not a distortion of the fact. It's not an O.J. Simpson case. This is not, they use all kinds of stratagems in order to distort evidence, etc. It's a move which could have been made. As I said, like a chess game, where you suggest a move to someone. He hadn't thought of his own, and you give him reinforcements. But of course, it's unfair and unjust. And that's what Echad HaYonim do. The problem that you have in this context extends beyond the issue of the Echad HaYonim as such. It has to do with the whole fabric, the whole structure of Siyat Din. Some ideal plane, the whole Marechet, maybe not about the Dvarim themselves, who have a right to pursue their own interests, but the Marechet, judges, the community, society, presumably should not be engaged in the battle of wits, the battle of tainus, enter the list of Tain Venitin, but they want to arrive at the truth and paskin that. The way the law in the West is generally practiced today, and it's been that way for a long, long time, is it was precisely viewed as a sort of battlefield, a game of wits, sort of a chess game, and it's each person and those who are assisting him see it as their right, and if he's a lawyer representing a client, he sees it as duty to put the best case on it and see that this client should win. Now, of course, there may be extreme cases in which the client has done terrible things, and maybe then you have pangs of conscience, but the general ethos, if I understand correctly, of the profession is that you're there to represent your client. And if the system cannot convict him or judge against him, then it's the problem of the system. You're not saying it's tzaddik. What you're saying is that the evidence is such, there's not enough evidence to convict him. This is, of course, a somewhat different perception from what we have in the world of halacha. Dayanim, in the sense, it's a mandate which is given to the community. Tzaddik said atildeif applies at one level to dayanim. Another level, to those who appoint Dayanim, to the Baalei Dvarim themselves, they go to the best Dayanim that they can. There should be, well, this is putting it perhaps in two idealized terms, should be a common and constituted quest to arrive at the truth. I say again, we think in different terms and concepts which we appear, in adversarial terms, it's a game, and some of the stakes are very high. And each one has to make his own goal line stand or score points as best as he can. And this, the system essentially recognizes that the advocate is there precisely to enter the list on behalf of his client and act accordingly. On halacha, what limitations there are is a different issue as to whether what only Baalei Dvarim can taine, whether someone else, the Labad Adia, to you, the lawyer, that will to answer you. So Hashoyah is of one kind, but another the problems in halacha is to it. First of all, whether Hashoyah is a positive initiative or not. And secondly, whether Hashoyah can help only by transforming the lawyer into the Baal Dovo. If Hashoyah is not Shesov Shlichus, but Shesov Kinyan, and then you have a problem with the Nitva, can the Nitva have a lawyer or not, because he doesn't have anything to transfer. All these issues which come up and are discussed extensively, and these are problems. But the more basic issue is, of course, the general attitude, which, as I said, is the adversarial, the confrontational conception and perception, as opposed to the more idealized quest for truth. That may very well be that to portray these terms is not fair to the present system, the present practitioners of the system, because I'm pitting the reality which we know, which we confront, which is very, very human, pitting that against what's in the Sfarim. And for all we know, maybe in Chazal's times or Shem's times, there was a great deal of adversarial confrontation as well. In case of the Gemara Ksubas, there, as I've said, of Nachman felt that says Yerchad Yonin, he was critical of himself, but there was his capacity of a Dayan. A Dayan should suggest certain moves to the Baalei Dvarim, and that, of course, is doubly problematic. It's not clear from the Gemara what the bottom line with regard to that is. What happened over there was initially Rav Nachman made the suggestion, let her do such and such, which will work for the benefit of this person, who's his relative. But then he had regrets. So then he asked, May Kora Sova Bisokha Letisalo. So he has obligations to this relative who came to Bezdin. He wasn't going to pass him for a presumably problem with the dying can be called with the Balei Dvarim, but in a non-judicial capacity suggested this. But he served my Sova on Choshev Shaini. So apparently all of them chashuv shiny, but other than that, when none of them chashuv, and the sense that some adjusted being prostituted would not be there, apparently they would be fine. Rashi says all the chashuv shiny, lafish le medine menu, v'yesh yasuf shelo likrovim. So do it for not people not krovim. So if you keep it in a chess game, it's a relative of yours, it's fine. But some not a relative. Then not. Let's see. So on the one end, there's an acceptance of this, at least for relatives, it's okay. But that we find, I guess, problematic nonetheless. If there's something which is prejudicial about this, it's unfair for the relative of dying to come in and have to listen on his behalf or her behalf. If it's unfair for anybody else, you have to be got to one's relative as well. Regardless of whether it's Mechashuv or not. And whether one should conclude based on this Mishnah that there's here some condemnation, or something suggests some condemnation of entering as functioning as a lawyer, I think is uncertain. First, I've indicated Ched Yanin. So what does that mean? Question of tightness, the question of stratagems, as Mark Swiss that I just indicated. The other Peshat Mitzvah with Ched Yanin, which we've seen from what we have over here. And then, maybe it will be that Ched Yanin is not something just said to the lawyer, but said to the dai. If you're dying, you can't be an Urchad Ayanin. Maybe being an Urchad Ayanin is a legitimate profession and a very worthy and deserving one. But if you are dying, the Mishnahs here speak, these two Mishnahs speak to the Ayanin, you can't wear two hats, be a dying and as an Eid as a dying, so you can die as a Urchdin or vice versa. The issue does not address itself here to another issue which concerns the legal profession in general. There are professions with regard to which you can pretty much define in moral terms where the profession stands. You're talking about Arizona, social work, you're talking about Kulei Chesed. You're talking about law, you're talking about a profession which, in terms of its moral status, can be viewed as first of all very positive because it helps to preserve law and order, but to the extent that it's engaged, I'm speaking now about law of litigation, not of other areas, contracts, etc., something else. Litigation, you might be helping strong adversary beat up a weak one, or the reverse. Now, in terms of your professional standing, you're providing counsel and advice to its side, and same thing, but of course from a moral standpoint, if you enable General Motors to run somebody out of business, enable someone to survive when various corporate behemoths are trying to crush him, it's very, very different. Here, I think that enfer doesn't enter. I presume that to some extent, in the back of Rav Nachman's mind, that Gemara in Ksuvos, the factor of whom you are advising does become a factor. And if Rav Nachman says that to help a relative makes being Echidayon legitimate, if that's what the Gemara is saying, helping a weak, despondent person resist the crushing force of a powerful conglomerate, being an Echidayon there probably also should be legitimate. But here, when we talk about a simple fealty to the objective system, without getting involved in some of these little issues surrounding this.
The Mishnah Nachos, which discusses Chazal's reluctance to administer the death penalty, doesn't it also imply a certain play in the technical rules that opposed to searching for the MS?
That's very, very different. There you're not dealing with two adversaries and taking sides. It's as the Mishnah Makis, the whole Sugya Sanhedrin, the difference between Schus and Chova, Achzir and Schus, Achzir and Chova, and try any possible tactic in order to see to it that a person does not suffer Ein Shebesen. It undermines the Hilchos Sanhedrin with regard to those aspects we deal with Ansh. But that's very, very different between that and the question of one Balas first or the other. Dr. Mendelshanim say that you can't speak of Schus Echov and Dinimavinus, because it's Schus for Guven, it's Chayev for Shimon, and vice versa. But if it's a question of Einshin, not a vis a vis someone else, then Nechanami, it's that Mishnah. I'm a Yude, Shemad Shosu Shishinim Kechamo Shivin. אין זה אסור של יהיה אחד עומד ואחד יושב. יהיה לך דין כתג דין כלו של דין שפותג דין שמאה מנה. The first question is one of how, to what value do you assign to the amida on the part of the Balei Dvarim? Is that a value? Is that not a value? You want to maintain a certain sense of the awe of the court, so to speak, and the climate that people in the halls of justice, and therefore they should be standing. It's not a question of discriminating between the two. A mayor didn't indicate whether both should be loshiva or not. He just says, Sheikhar Abed Bechad Yoshev. My understanding would be that this is implied in a mayor's statement as well. If both are sitting, that's fine. But I may be wrong. Perhaps the standing was that they both should be umay. The last point, is something which we're very familiar with, Dimputakadin Meya. And we can understand the principle very well. The principle is Gezel Vaputas was Gezel Meyamane. And you have to judge honestly, fairly, and squarely, regardless of what the stakes are. The level of implementation is enormously difficult. Theoretically, say, being like this, being like that, they're all equal. But in practice, when stakes are high, the sense that a person may lose or may gain very significantly. Certainly, we address these issues while recognizing that qualitatively it's the same, but the quantitative factor certainly doesn't become a factor. I've asked some more than once, really, is the expectation that we're going to give the same degree of attention at the same time, and energy will be expended upon Din Putakadin Mea? Or does it simply mean that you cannot willfully and wantonly abandon a particular case You have two responsibilities to deal with it, to judge it, and to judge it honestly. But how much energy you expend upon it, I think that may be a different issue, but I don't know. All right, we'll deal briefly with the next. בשעה שמול רגע ממני מחזיר אחרי דוד להורגו. This appears in various contexts. Here it's put in abstract terms. Roshalmin Peya, I think it's a Peya, says, we've got the Rebbe. Rebbe had said before he was appointed as Nasi, two oxen couldn't have gotten him to sit in that chair. Now that he's there, two oxen couldn't pull him down from it. Question as to why this ought to be so, I suppose that there are two ways of regarding this, one more charitable and one less charitable. And depending if we're talking about the Rebbe, we're talking about some Tammany Hall politician, I guess we would have different judgments. One is that the person initially doesn't want the responsibility, wants to lead a quiet and mashallah secluded life. Says, and that is beyond the plow, etc., etc. And let other people run the community. Other people, gabayim, rabbanim, dayanim, etc., etc. Once he's there, then he, number one, enjoys the sense of responsibility, and secondly, begins to become convinced that indeed he is indispensable, and that he runs things better than anybody else. Says a question of desiring the power, but generally becoming convinced that one needs to be a public servant and that he is the best public servant around. That's the most shallow way of putting it. The other is, instead of less shallow, or Acton's famous saying, the power corrupts, the absolute power corrupts absolutely, that a person undergoes a certain change in attitude and personality by assuming the seat of power, the excess of authority, and the sense of control to be able to run other people's lives and lording it over them. It's a source of enormous gratification. It's a huge ego trip. And so before one had been reluctant, before one had tasted it, but now that one has tasted it, one is transmuted, transformed by the experience. So I've said, depending on who we're talking about, so we would have different ways of receiving it. We're talking about Yudah ben Tabbai, we're talking about Rebbe, the Yerushalmi. Chatzol, we would see them as having been corrupted by the assumption of power. But that for many people of lesser stature and of ordinary human nature, that this kind of transformation takes place, that indeed I think is possible. The element of corruption is there, and the desire, the thirst for power is a tremendous, tremendous yetzirah. Dr. Johnson, his preface to Shakespeare, wrote that Shakespeare understood that, unlike the novelists of his day who made romantic love the dominant theme, Shakespeare understood that the thirst for power was much more dominant and had much greater weight. And indeed, tremendous, tremendous yitzhak. And this Yudah ben Tabbai says here that I don't know whether this is by way of expanding al tatsu kacheda yanin, but this is also a position of power which they have employed, or something else altogether. Just one final remark. Spoke about the halachic or meta halachic, if you will, content these two mishnayos. The Baisos to Abnosin speak of what we saw from Rebbe Baruch HaDayanin. Then we'll briefly about Shimon Meshetach, Shimon involved there now. And how much relates to the Balei Dvarim, that is ignored here. The Rambam the last halacha in Perek Yud Ches Sanhedrin concludes that Olam Yivaled Din Lefleichot Rishayim Ubcheskat Shekol Echad Mehem Tain Sheker Vedon Lefim Ashetere Min Advarim Shipatru Min Lefleichot Rishayim Ki Atzadikim Shivolayim Adin Vedon Kol Echad Mehem Lechav Zechut. Here it's conjoined with what I noted last, I think it was last time, maybe 2 weeks ago. Is absent in the Rambam in other respects. The Chiyuv Yudanachav Schus appears as part of the composite personality of Talmid Chacham. It's not as the normative way to which we associate with it. Here he will introduce this Yudanachav Schus. Now this is not quite in the narrow halachic base. This is the last Halacha after several parakim, which the Rambam started in the middle of Perek Chof, is one through 3.5 parakim, followed by Beit Chof Gimel on the first and second half of Perek Chof. But Halacha is how to conduct the din. Towards the end of that, talks about attitudes. Olam Yiradei Atzmok Yilchem Nachalat Savoro V'Gem T'chol Lefanav, etc. וידעת מי הוא דם, לפני הוא דם, ומיד לפרוי מנו מטוב את קו האמת, שם הלוקים לסופר עד קהיל, ואומר, ראו מה אתם עושים כאילו לאדם, תשפטו כאילו השם. So it's more Sanhedrin. Then it goes on to the Dain, which is not Don Dinam Islamito, it goes to Israel, Israel, the Dain, who is Don Dinam Islamito, כאילו תיקן לכל עם כולו, וגרם שכינה שתשכה בישראל, etc. And then comes this halacha. Is somewhere on the border between what is strictly halacha and strictly and partly agadah. Attitudes, but attitudes which are to be the underpinnings of a fundamental structure which is halachic in nature and in function. I will stop here. Next time, Hashem, we'll deal with talk about the Chavruta Adin briefly. Then deal with what is, of course, a very important topic, the Hovet HaMelacha, Sinat HaRabbanut HaMashul, get to next time.